I'm Belinda Borden. I'm a Lyme Regis Town Councillor and a Dorset Councillor elected in a by-election last year. I'm a carbon literacy facilitator and basically I'm a geographer. I'm a concerned mum and grandmum. So I've been trying to do something about the lack of political action on the climate and environmental emergency for quite a few years now, and that's why I stood for the local councils to see what I could do to get things going a bit.
So as a Dorset councillor, what's happened so far since you've been a councillor?
Oh, well, that's been really good news story, actually, I think. I feel... before I was very much... I live in Lyme Regis, so we're really close to Devon, and I was working at the University of Exeter, so it was easier for me to get involved locally at, in everything that Devon and East Devon are doing. And I felt that Dorset was really lagging behind, and I think, you know, they concentrated inevitably on becoming a unitary authority. So I felt that they were behind, for example, Devon, Cornwall, Somerset, Wiltshire. I co-founded the Dorset Climate Action Network, which is one of the organisations that's organised today, you know, partly to do that, to kind of galvanise a bit of action and to share best practice and see how we could support Dorset Council to do better. I genuinely feel that in the last year or so that the mindset has really changed in the majority party. I think before it was the portfolio holder was really quite... you know, the opposition were kind of his support base almost, and now the majority party has really sort of seemed to have turned a corner, and they've produced this fantastic revised nature recovery, climate and ecological strategy. They've employed somebody, which I have to say was a Green Party request, that they employed a senior director to run, you know, to turn the strategy into action. And they recruited the marvellous Stephen Ford from Cornwall Council. So, you know, someone that a council that had already been very proactive in this. They're quite a sort of pioneer, really, Cornwall. So now we have the benefit of Stephen and his team, and the political will has changed now as well. They've got a sustainable planning guidance document, which goes beyond the minimum expectations that the government has, and they're being, yeah, I think that we've turned the corner, and I think that they're all fully behind the climate and ecological strategy, the what's the other thing, the decision wheel that Anthony was explaining earlier on, means that every single council decision has to assess its impact, not just on reducing carbon, but on the impact on biodiversity, on all of our planetary boundaries. It's based on the sort of model of donut economics, and making sure that, so even that process means that we are understanding more about our impacts and what we need to do to mitigate them. So I'm delighted that in a relatively short space of time, it feels to me as if Dorset is really catching up very fast.
And they're also trying to lead the way with works on their own buildings, aren't they, to make them more energy efficient, etc.
Yeah, they've been fantastic. So they've managed to get some good chunks of government funding to do quite pioneering projects. So I believe the Corn Exchange is one of them.
That's run by the Town Council, slightly different.
Yeah. And Dalston Castle. So I'm right in saying that Dorset Council is the only principal authority that's done all of the school estate, its own school estate, not the academies, but have solar panels.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that they've done, that although that particular amount of funding has run out, they've kept on the engineers who did all of that work, so that expertise now is available to us as a community.
The public, basically.
And I think that the portfolio holder was saying that one of the next priorities is going to be how do we roll out what we have learnt to enable town and parish councils and communities to gain the benefit of that expertise. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of what Dorset Council's done, and I'm really proud to be part of it.
Well, what do you make of today, then? This is the first in the country. Over 100 different organisations here today. Dorset really is leading the way, isn't it?
Yes, it's fantastic. So as I said, I mentioned earlier on, I co-founded the Dorset Climate Action Network 3 years ago. I'm not sure exactly when, but somebody approached me and that made four of us to say, well, yeah, it's a great idea. And as I said, I've been getting involved in things in Devon. So I said, yeah, I think it's a fantastic idea. So sharing ideas, sharing best practice, supporting each other, inspiring each other. And you know, the fact that we've put this event on with Sustainable Dorset and Zero Carbon Dorset, and it's amazing. I couldn't have been prouder. So I drove over with Julie from Charmouth, who is one of the sort of very early people on Dorset Can, and we're just kind of amazed. We were saying, can you believe it?
What would you like to see come out of this day?
Ooh,
that's a tricky one, isn't it?
That is a tricky one. Well, I really hope, I mean, I've seen lots of people swapping email addresses, and I really hope that, well, particularly it was really good that the MP Tobias Elwood came and was you know, answering his hecklers. I really hope that he goes back and says, look, you know, this is happening, it's happening on our doorstep, we could get behind this, we could be, you know, Dorset is in some ways uniquely placed with the coast and with the areas of outstanding natural beauty. You know, we could be pioneers solar panels on farm buildings, on working with our agricultural and landowning community to look at more regenerative agriculture and rewilding. So all of these things that we know that the solutions are out there. It's just a case of getting everyone together and giving people the confidence. That my last session on carbon literacy training, it gave people the confidence to think, yes, we can do this. And by the way, this is what people who voted for us want us to do. So it's getting that message across and sort of...
So it's networking,
stopping.
Really.
It's networking and it's sharing best practice and it's just feeling inspired. And if I'd had more time, I would have read out the... So this morning, Laura was quoting from Rob Hopkins, how do we turn what is to what if? And it's about visioning and it's having a bold vision. And we need to get everyone together to say, this is what we would like Dorset to look like. We want it to have clean air. We want to have clean rivers and beaches. Now, how do we make that happen? So we are in a really good position. And yes, I'm thrilled to bits with Dorset Can, with the whole event and with Dorset Council's.
Would you like to see this become an annual event?
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure the organisers will probably say no for a couple of months while they recover, but I think that everyone who's come here today will probably say yes, we should. And then we can see how far we've come and what's sort of emerged from it.
It'll be interesting to see next year, get some feedback of what's happened over that 12-month period.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Somebody asked me a question just now about examples of where carbon literacy has made that happen, and I'm sure there are lots of examples, but it would be fantastic. See who met whom and who made that connection. I've got the details of an artist, because I've been trying to find someone who could create a three-dimensional vision of Future Lyme Regis for me to use as a sort of prop for people to come and say, oh, I don't like that, or oh no, that's a lovely idea, I hadn't thought of that. So, you know, who knows, maybe I'll have that by next year and I can say that was the connection I made.
I'll catch up with you again next year and we'll find out what progress we've made. Thank
lovely.
You very much for talking to us today.
You're very welcome. Nice to talk to you.